Peace be with you. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and lots of other platforms. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking with Catholic guests who are current or former athletes, coaches, referees, umpires, clergy, administrators, and more from the pro, amateur, and scholastic ranks about the intersection of their faith life and their sports life. On last week's episode, I mentioned that my birthday was last Wednesday, and unfortunately, Hurricane Ian ended up being the uninvited guest to my party that same day. I shared in the Facebook group for this show a picture out my front window of the aftermath from that storm coming through the Tampa Bay area, but certainly that is much, much worse 2 hours south of here. If you are not part of that group, go to the show website, CatholicSportsRadio.net, and you will see a Join Our Facebook Group link right below the picture of me. There are other listeners of this show in that group, as well as some past guests. It's a good place to be in community together as an extension of this show. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. We can't go at it with only a partial effort. The coach will know it, teammates will certainly know it, heck, the fans will likely even know as well. And of course, not giving it 100% certainly does not set up well for getting the win that you want. It should be common sense for us to carry that mindset over to our spiritual lives too. If we just wander aimlessly, assuming that God is with us, but not really pursuing Him, are we really putting forth the effort consistent with our goal of the victory that is eternity in heaven? In the Old Testament, we read in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13, "When you look for me, you will find me. Yes, when you seek me with all your heart." Friends, let us rededicate ourselves to our spiritual goal and to the one who is waiting for us each day with his loving arms wide open to us who seek him. Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest ran cross-country track as a student athlete, has coached flag football, and continues to play competitive co-ed softball. He is a retired New York City Police Department detective who has written 6 books over the last 6 years, the latest of which just came out in the latter part of June and is titled Confessions of a Catholic High School Graduate. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Vic Ferrari.
Hey, Bruce, thank you so much for having me on your show. I greatly appreciate it.
You bet. I'm looking forward to it, Vic. I don't think too many people move to the Big Apple and become an NYPD detective. So I'm thinking you're going to tell us that you were, in fact, born and raised in New York City. Is that the case? And also, what was the family size when you were growing up?
I am born and raised in New York City in the borough of the Bronx, the Throgneck section of the Bronx, to be specific. And I'm the oldest. I have a younger brother, and it was my parents and my mother's parents. So there were 6 of us in a 2-story row house, which is probably less than 1,200 square feet.
Wow. And folks, you will hear later on as Vic and I go through this conversation that he's no longer up there, but I certainly wanted to establish where he's from originally, because a lot of what you're going to hear is going to have taken place up north. As I'm sure we will hear when we talk about the newest book of yours that I gave the title for in the intro, Vic, you obviously went to a Catholic high school, but share with us first about the presence of the Catholic faith in the household that you just mentioned you were raised in.
Well, I had Catholicism on both sides of the family. My mother was Italian and my dad was Irish, and Catholicism was on both sides of the family. We didn't go to Mass quite a bit. We went during the holidays, and my dad worked 7 days a week, and my mom running a full-time household and taking care of her parents. We tried to go when we could, which is the typical excuse of most Catholics. And I went to public school for my first 8 years, and my last year of grade, my dad said, next year you're going to Catholic high school, which was a shock to me.
What was the inspiration for him to decide that that was the change that was going to be made? Do you know?
Oh, definitely. The Bronx was a rough place to grow up back then. This is late 70s. And he said, quote unquote, you're a clown. And if you go to public school, you're going to be a bigger clown. So you're going to Catholic high school, so pick a school run by the men in black. He goes, I don't care if it's Jesuit, Christian Brothers, priest, nun. I don't care. He goes, you're going to Catholic high school. And back then, you had to take an entrance exam, which was kind of like the NFL combine. And then based on your score, then they set up interviews where you would go to different Catholic high schools, and they would fill you out and see if you would get an invite or not.
Wow. Wow, I'm furrowing my brow.
It's actually a privilege back then to go.
If this was a video podcast, people would laugh and say, look at the look on Bruce's face as Vic is saying this. And there's probably lots of people out there that say, come on, Bruce, get with it. You had no idea. No, I had no idea. So this is fascinating, Vic.
Okay, well, it was a privilege to go to Catholic high school. I mean, back then, the Bronx, specifically in my neighborhood, was Catholic. I mean, and freshman year, I had to sell raffle tickets. And that was an uphill battle because it was like trying to sell Bibles in the Vatican. Everybody had kids going to Catholic high school, Catholic grammar school. So it was like knocking on doors and, sorry, we're full here. And there's a story in my book. I wound up at 14 years old walking into bars and selling these raffle tickets. And my parents thought I was the greatest salesman in the world until I walked into a mob bar. And they threw money at me and didn't want to sign the raffle ticket books because mobsters don't, you know, file tax returns and use multiple aliases. So my dad is looking at, I collected 50 books in an hour. And I have two books of raffle tickets filled out with Vic Ferrari's name on it. So my father thought I stole the money. And he's going, hey, Vic, where did this money come from? I'm only going to ask you once. And I was like, well, the men in the bar, they bought these raffle tickets. He goes, that's it. No more selling raffle tickets.
But obviously, your father wasn't giving you a choice. I wonder, though, from a perspective of a young boy who was being told you're going to go to Catholic school, was that something that you embraced, or were you completely opposed to it and went begrudgingly? Because we're hearing that you weren't going to Mass every Sunday, so I'm wondering how that news was met by someone at that age.
Confusion. I didn't know what to expect, and this is like 1978, so I was hearing all these horror stories about corporal punishment. I mean, in public school, as long as you showed up and didn't make too much noise, you passed. You know, I'm hearing all these stories from my older friends, you know, their older brothers and stuff. There's corporal punishment, and there's a dress code. And so I was a nervous wreck going in. But, I mean, looking back, it was probably four of the best years of my life.
Wow. Well, what about sports? When and how did you first start getting interested and involved in sports?
I was always an athletic kid. I mean, even before high school, I played, you know, Little League and football. And I tried out for the JV baseball team. And my high school had just won the New York City Catholic High School Championship. So they were filled with athletes 10 times better than I was. Mm. So I remember trying out for the baseball team and then telling me my services weren't needed. My father goes, he goes, you're fast. Try out for the track team, and that's what I did. I wound up running cross-country track for a couple of years.
Okay. Well, what were your priorities like as a boy? Meaning, we've heard that you went to a Catholic school, and you're raised in New York, where they're absolutely rabid about the Yankees, about the Knicks, the Rangers, and so on. So I would think there could be a temptation for someone to idolize one or more athletes on those teams, if not the teams themselves, rather than try to put any focus on their faith being important to them?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, I did. I was a big New York Yankee fan, and I used to idolize the Yankees. And my father was, you know, he worked 7 days a week. My father didn't have time for sports, actually. And he would say, you know, I know you love these guys, he says, but they're not going to do anything for you. I always remember him saying that. He goes, they're not going to put a roof over your house. They're not going to come to see you when you're sick. Wow. They're not your family.
Wow.
Simple, really. He says, it's their entertainment, and never lose sight of that.
Wow. Well, let's fast forward. Talk about making the decision to be in service to your community and joining the New York City Police Department.
When I was about 5 years old, 5 to 7 years old, my mom used to take my brother and I to the movies on Saturday. So on the way to go see Herbie the Love Bug, there was a local police station around the corner from the movie theater. So I was fascinated with the police cars. I would stick my head in the windows and look at the nightsticks and police hats, and I'd watch the cops in front of the precinct, how they, you know, how they communicated with each other. I said, you know what? One day I'm going to be chasing the bad guys. By age 10, my friends and I used to go to the post office and steal the FBI wanted posters off the walls and walk around the neighborhood. We're going into the local deli, like, this looks like Billy Ray Johnson wanted for a bank robbery in Milwaukee. You know, so I knew what I wanted to do since the age of 5. My parents really wanted me to go to college, and I would have none of it. And by 21 years old, I passed the exam, and I was on my way to, you know, becoming a member of the New York City Police Department.
Mm. Wow. Wow. Amazing. And you spent how many years?
I did 20 years to the day.
Amazing. Amazing. Wow. Well, at the very beginning of this episode, I alluded to the fact that last week I said it was my birthday episode, since that interview came out 2 days before my actual birthday, and I said that we could have a belated virtual party. At the time, I didn't know that I wouldn't really be able to celebrate my birthday on the actual day, thanks to Hurricane Ian showing up here that day. But the point I was making then was that it was an opportunity for you to make a gift to this show, being that I don't get any income from doing this, nor do I have any sponsors, which means that I somehow have to try to find a way out of my own pocket to cover all the expenses that come with operating my Catholic Sports Radio ministry. It unfortunately is only getting more and more difficult to keep up with the bills that I have for doing this, which is why I do ask you to please prayerfully consider sending me a belated birthday gift that I can use to try to help offset some of the many costs that I face. Jordan Langdon did exactly that. She was the guest on last week's episode, and she was kind enough to use the blue Donate to CSR button that's on CatholicSportsRadio.net, just as other guests before her and some listeners have done. That is a fast and easy way to send me something. It even lets you include a little note if you wish. Jordan did that to pass along birthday wishes, which was nice. When you use that option, you get to put in whatever amount you wish, whatever you're comfortable with. There's no list of predetermined amounts for you to choose from. It's secure, and it's a way to help me keep the show going and try to move more people further along in their faith life. If you are not comfortable with the online approach, you can write to me via bruce@catholicsportsradio.net, and I will email you back with details on how to send a check through the mail, as some others have opted to do instead. I would love to continue thanking people like I'm doing here and mentioning Jordan Langdon's name. I'm happy to thank by name anyone and everyone who sends a gift, meaning that, with your permission, I will happily say your name too. Or as some have asked me to do, you can instead choose to remain anonymous. I'm truly grateful to everyone who listens, and I appreciate your gifts as a way of tithing and helping me continue working to move more people closer to Christ through this ministry. Vic, before all that, you were talking about serving through your work with the NYPD. Tell us about coaching flag football and serving students that way.
I was retired several years, and one of my best friends who lives down here has several children. He doesn't have time, and the coach of his son's flag football team had moved just before the season had begun, and he said, would you mind giving it a shot? And I said, it's funny. As I rose to the rank of detective in the New York City Police Department, I never wanted to be a supervisor because I never want to manage people. That's just not my thing. I was reluctant to do it, but looking back, it was so much fun. I did it for a season, and it was great. It was just, you know, trying to get a bunch of 14-year-olds' attention, and I put myself in their shoes. Like, to me, to them, I'm an old man, and I'm telling them what to do. So I try to make it fun for them, which a lot of the parents didn't appreciate because I think they wanted me to run it like the Alabama football program. And I was like, listen, they're kids. It's flag football. No one's going on to the ACC and the NFL here. So just, you know, take it light and let the kids have fun.
I have a lot of guests that will come on and talk about work that they did with kids, and they'll end up saying that they got more from the kids than the kids probably got from them. Did you find that that was the case?
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. And again, what I do is to get a kid's attention, I always give them a nickname, whether they like it or not. And I just started calling them by nicknames, and they go, why do you call me that? I'm like, don't worry about it. I'll tell you after the season. You got to get kids to kind of wonder about you. Like, well, who is this guy? Why is he pushing my buttons? I mean, I'm not talking in a mean-spirited way, but just to challenge them that they pay attention.
Yeah. Well, I mentioned in the intro that you have written 6 books in the last 6 years and that your latest is called Confessions of a Catholic High School Graduate. Tell us about that, including something that I saw referenced as, quote, confessing one sin too many can lead to a foot chase through an empty church.
Well, that's a true story. So Confessions of a Catholic High School Graduate is, it's loosely based on my life growing up in the Bronx, at my 4 years of Catholic high school, and how I went from being this punk kid to, it definitely put me on the right path of discipline and faith, and then later on to become a member of the New York City Police Department. As far as me getting chased out of a confessional, before you make your confirmation, you have to make a confession a few days before. And being a 14-year-old or whatever I was, 13 years old, I forgot to tell my dad, hey, Thursday night, we've got to be at the church between 5 and 7 p.m. for me to make my confession. So I dropped this on my dad about 6:45. My father's upset. We race over to the church. There's no one around. And I'm with my younger brother, my dad. And, you know, I'm like, well, maybe they're inside, like, you know, trying to will this to happen. My father said, well, go check. So my brother and I go up to the church, and there's this old Irish priest. He looked like Barry Fitzgerald. He's locking it up. He's got a ring of keys in his hand. And I'm like, Father, we're here to make my confession. And he starts laying into me, hey, confession was from 5 to 7. It's now 7:10. And I'm like, I know, I understand. He goes, why were you late? So I said, my father got a flat tire on the way over. Now, I realize lying 5 seconds before going into confession is not a good way to start things off. But I figured if he wasn't, I had to get my foot in the door. And I figured if he wasn't too judgmental, I'd confess that too. So back into the church, and I watch him go over, and he hits a row of lights, and they come on. We go down to the end of the church, and then you went down some stairs, and there was a couple of confession booths. I told my brother, who was a couple of years younger than me, to wait outside. I go into the booth and, you know, bless me, Father, for I have sinned. It's been X amount of time since my last confession. And he starts laying into me what, you know, a year before you're making your since your last confession, why should you make your confirmation if you're not going to take this seriously?
Wow.
And I said, okay. And he says, go on. And he kind of threw me with that one. And I didn't really, you know, how much could a 14-year-old confess? And I'm thinking to myself, what do I got? And I says, I was disrespectful to my grandmother. And he says, well, your grandmother's an old woman. And he starts laying into me again.
Wow.
So after each trivial sin, I just was getting browbeat in there. And I said to myself, what am I going to do? And I hear my brother laughing outside the confessional. So finally I said, Father, look, you don't want me in here. I don't want to be here. Can we just go upstairs and call it a day? And he said, what did you just say? And I said, Father, I'm sorry. He starts yelling I could see him standing up. So now I'm trying to get out of the booth, and my younger brother is holding the door with his weight. So I give the door a shot. I knock my brother on the floor, and the two of us go running out of the church with the priest on our heels. So I ran over those lights. I saw him click on to open up the church. I had to put some distance between him and my father, because if he made it outside and told my father that I was being a wise ass in church, my father would hang me on a cross. So I shut the lights off to the church, and I hear him screaming, don't shut off the lights. My brother and I run outside. We jump in the car, and my dad is like, how did it go? Fine. Dad, can we just go? Now all of a sudden my father wants to be Phil Donahue asking me questions. My father never wanted to talk to me after work. Now he's like interviewing me. So we drive away from the church. Nobody calls the house that night. And children have the memory of a fly. I'm figuring, we don't go to church that much. I've never seen this priest before. This is over. So Saturday morning I get up. I go to the public grammar school, which is next door to the church, to sit with my class. And then we're going to march over, and I'm going to make my confirmation. And my parents and my family are going to attend a little later in the day. While I'm in the classroom, the door opens and there's standing Barry Fitzgerald, and it was like a police lineup. He looks across the classroom with about 30 kids, and he goes, I'd like to have a word with that young man. So the teacher, she was no fan of mine because I was disruptive. She goes, oh yeah, take him. He gets me outside and he throws me in a classroom, and I got my first taste of corporal punishment I got tuned up a little bit, not too bad, but I got smacked around a little bit. And he goes, get the hell out of here. So I go back with my class, and I'm saying to myself, I'm not going to tell my parents. This was personal. You know, I'm saying to myself, because had he told my father would have done a far better job. So I go in with my class. I make my confirmation. We're in front of the church taking photos with my family. And the priest comes by, and I'm like, oh, no, he's going to tell them. He comes over, and he pinches my cheek in front of my parents. He goes, what a fine young man.
Oh my
and
gosh.
My mother's like, well, depends on the day, Father. And he didn't say a word to my parents. He took a couple of photos. If I can dig them up, I'll send them to you.
Wow.
So, you know, that's the opening of my book, Confessing One Sin Too Many Can Lead Jason to an Empty Church.
And, folks, I will put a link on the show page for this episode at CatholicSportsRadio.net to Vic's author page on Amazon, so you can see all six books that he has written, including this newest one that you're hearing him talk about, called Confessions of a Catholic High School Graduate. And by the way, Vic, I must commend you, because you've written six books, and you're obviously not doing this to get rich, because they're all extremely, extremely reasonably priced. I think $2.99.
Yeah, all the paperbacks are $10, and ebook downloads are $2.99. For a self-published author, I want to keep the price point low.
Okay, okay. Wow. Well, hats off to you, because obviously, you've got some real entertaining content there, and somebody could be tempted to say, you know, I'm going to see how much I can squeeze out of people for that. So getting back to sports for a minute, since you are a storyteller, and I don't know if this is in any of your books, but share with us about playing a game that was attended by an eventual A-list celebrity.
Yeah, so when I was in Catholic high school, in my neighborhood, there was another Catholic high school, but it was all girls. So my dismissal time was an hour before theirs. So my friend and I would rush home every day after school in the spring. We would change our clothes quickly. We would throw a lawn chair in front of his house, which is directly in front of this girls' Catholic high school, and we would play wiffle ball. I'd stand in the middle of the street, and I'd fire wiffle balls into the backstop of this lawn chair, and he'd be trying to hit shots over the fence into Preston High School's front yard. And we did this to check out all young girls that were coming out of the school. Well, little did I know, a girl that was 2 years younger than me, J-Lo, Jennifer Lopez, attended Preston High School while this was going on.
Wow.
So she probably saw me and my friend playing softball out front. Obviously, she wasn't too impressed, because she married Ben Affleck and a bunch of other people, by the way. So, yeah, that was my brush with fame with Jennifer Lopez going to Catholic high school.
Crazy, crazy. What is Riverdale House, by the way? And share with the audience why I'm asking you that, meaning your connection to it.
Yeah, in senior year of high school, I went to a Christian Brothers school. Before we graduated in the spring, they took probably about 50 of us at a time over the weekend to the Riverdale Retreat House. It's run by the Catholic Church. It's along the Hudson River in New York, just south of Yonkers. It's got a beautiful view of the Hudson. And it was a retreat where they brought in guests of different. They brought somebody. It was really to teach us that, you know, soon you're going to be going into adulthood, and there's a lot of pitfalls out there. They brought in a woman from Alcoholics Anonymous. They brought somebody in that had served prison time. It was kind of a wake-up call to explore your faith and make sure, you know, before you, there's a lot of perils waiting for you in the outside world that you should be aware of.
Well, you know, this show is all about the mix of faith and sports, and one of my aims is I love when guests talk about practical applications for their faith in their everyday life. And yes, obviously the emphasis is on sports, but I have this idea, Vic, and I hope you're going to tell me that I'm wrong, but I think we all think of something like the NYPD, and whether it was as a detective or some other position, the tendency is to think, well, there's no way that you could bring your faith into that job. Am I correct? Or were there moments where it's, you know what, Bruce, you do have to show compassion to some of these people, and you do kind of draw from your Christian values?
Oh, definitely. But it's challenging. I mean, during my time, I mean, I was with the NYPD from 1987 to 2007. There was a lot of Catholic members of the New York City Police Department. You had the Shields, the Holy Name Society. There was a lot of big Catholic organizations in the NYPD. It's challenging. I mean, you try to forgive, but the reality is you still have to do your job. And you try to help people when you can. Sometimes the only way you can help them is by locking them up, unfortunately. You try to give somebody a break. I'm writing a story now. There were these Catholic high school kids that my partner and I saw them drinking beer in back of a supermarket. It was like around this time of year too. It was like the Columbus Day holiday, and they were up on Monday, and they were going to run. And I said, "Listen, guys, don't run. Talk to me." And they're like, "Oh, you know, we're just having a couple of beers." And I said, "All right, I just clean up, get out of here." And you know, they reminded me so much of myself. You know what I mean? Like just having a couple of beers in back of the school park. They weren't bothering anybody. And a couple of days later, we wound up locking them up for doing an armed robbery. And I kicked myself to this day that maybe we should have brought them into the precinct, taken their beer, given them C summonses, called up their parents, had their parents come in, you know, put a fear into them. Instead, we just kind of told them to throw the beer out and send them on their way.
Interesting.
And they wound up, you know, they wound up getting criminal records. I mean, they were young, they were first offenders, they didn't go to jail, but they got a felony record.
Yeah. Wow. Well, I started off this episode by mentioning Hurricane Ian, but also that you still play competitive co-ed softball. Plus, we can tell that you're obviously very active as a writer. Where in Florida are you, and what parish do you belong to? And for that matter, will there be yet another book in the future?
I'm in the Clearwater area. I belong to All Saints Parish. Yes, there will. As we speak, I'm writing another NYPD-themed book. One of the two most difficult things I struggle with writing is the name of the book and writing a description about the book. I've got the stories in my head. It's promoting it is where I struggle.
Gotcha. Well, Vic, I must say this has been very entertaining and really fascinating conversation. It's 192 episodes in now, and your story is very unique, and I'm glad that we got the opportunity to have you as part of Catholic Sports Radio. So thank you, and God bless you.
Thank you.
And folks, I'm going to go back to the point in the interview where Vic talked about the year that he spent as a coach, and we're going to close this week with one of the prayers that I have from the National Catholic Coaches Association. And so let's pray this together in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. From Proverbs 10:9, the one who lives with integrity lives securely, but whoever perverts his ways will be found out. Lord, in a world where integrity seems to be forgotten, help me see those times when I put my own at risk. Give me the strength to ask for help, and even more strength to listen. Lord, use my life as an example of integrity so that it may be passed on to another generation and to the athletes whom you have entrusted to me. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.